Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Seemed like he's doing good. I mean, we had a great conversation yesterday. I thought yesterday probably was his most prolific practice. And that's not saying that he doesn't always come out there and practice hard, but I thought he did a heck of a job because his focus is in a different place.
So there you go.
We in here talking about practice.
CH has been, he had his most prolific practice.
That's right.
Everything's going to be
fine.
He just
likes the alliteration of that.
No, I think that's what you say after this criticism that has been on CEH all week. When you have the opportunity to talk him up and promote him and say he's doing good things, you do that. And whether you're doing that just externally or you're doing it both internally and externally, if that's what it takes, right, Josh? I mean, coaches have to push the right buttons on their player. They always say it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes and motivating the players in that direction. And
I'm glad I'm pushing the right buttons. I'm not sure I always do that. My wife might not say that.
That is correct. But if he's in if he's in there in practice and he's talking up CEH and telling him he's had a great practice and he's staying in front of me.
You're prolific today, man.
In practice. Hey, that carries a lot of weight. That gets the guy's confidence back. And I think at this point in time, Josh, we need to do everything as a fan base and a community to wrap our arms around Clyde Edwards-Helaire and love
Edwards
him
and
up
there.
And let him know, hey, we got your back, man. And that's what the coaching staff is doing. You need this guy to be positive. You can't have him lose his confidence in week two of an NFL season because of one fumble, because I would imagine sometime later in the year, you're going to need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to step it up big. And so you've got to keep him up. And that's one thing that I think coaches that are successful understand. They know how to motivate each and every one of their players, and they know what makes those guys tick. And if Clyde Edwards-Helaire needs a little kind of bump in the right direction and people telling him he's doing a good job, then you got to give it to him. The best managers in all of the world, whether it's sports or life, they understand the people that are working underneath them, their players, their employees. Everybody is different. Everybody needs to be motivated. Everybody needs to be loved up in a different way. Sometimes tough love works for people, but sometimes you just need to have positive impacts to players during the week to get them to play well on Sunday. And so I don't have
like
a problem with it.
I'm not concerned at all. Perception this week that, they got to hold this kid's hand this week.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any of that going on.
No.
We're doing that. The fans are doing that, and the media is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
No, it's time for love.
Like he said before, he didn't really want anybody to talk to him. He just wanted to put his arm around him, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they went to practice. Then they went to practice this week. I think they've been dwelling on the fact that he had a big fumble in a big spot. No.
No. I hope they're not.
They've just been practicing. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. I hope they're not dwelling on it. I mean, it's a fumble. Players fumble all the time.
Well, you ever find an answer going, CH, you okay? We need to pump you up. They're not doing any of that because it's fine. Went to practice the next day, and they're preparing for the Chargers. Like that's it. It's overhype. Speaking of overhype, CH might have been overhyped, right? 32nd pick coming out of the draft. Peter Schrager of NFL Network,
yeah,
fawning all over him. I said from the get-go, like, hold on. He's been drafted into a great situation, but.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not think that they're going to turn the ball over and run a whole bunch of times. Now, he's had two really good games.
Yeah.
and a bunch of games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he hasn't really had as many star moments. You mentioned the first game. The first game against Houston, and then the game with Buffalo where they just ran.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Right?
Yeah, just ran the heck out of the ball.
Other than
that,
they've been, eh.
Right.
And last season, I said, was a good rookie season.
It was a good rookie. It was a nice season.
It was a nice rookie season. If people were expecting him to be at the top of the fantasy charts and to lead the league in rushing,
that's on you.
Felt like you were going to overshoot that one.
Yeah.
But
I think somebody drafted him first in their fantasy league.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. One Peter Schrager of NFL Network did that. Kyle Brandt, his colleague on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, will join us coming up an hour from now. He says CEH, though, might not live up to the hype or the expectations.
The Peter Schrager expectations are always into the stratosphere when it comes to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The problem with Peter is that he was all over the Mahomes thing before there was the Mahomes thing, and he said before the breakout season, this guy's going to be the biggest star in this league. We all thought he was drunk. So now he's just like on a heater and thinks he can get everything right with the Chiefs. This guy, Peter, I mean, I'm going to go in on Peter. He'll hear this eventually and be mad at me. Peter drafted Edwards-Helaire last year in fantasy with the number one overall pick.
Oh my.
He took him number one before Henry and McCaffrey and Kamara and Mahomes himself. That's how much he liked him. So there's a lot of enthusiasm. You pick a first-round pick at running back, it's, oh, it seems cool. We're going to score all these touchdowns. And then you remember, I personally think that Damian Williams should have been the Super Bowl MVP that year that
yep.
they won it. That's the kind of guy you win it with. And meanwhile, I don't care if he's drafted in the seventh round or the first. Edwards-Helaire has got to show us something this weekend. I mean, really. Hold on to the ball, but how about break a run?
That's the question, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can he break a run?
Can he break a run?
We haven't seen that burst.
No, we have not.
You can't argue that you've seen that burst.
Just right.
Pass him the ball for the love of God.
Yeah.
Get him the flat, throw him the ball.
I'd let him go.
Making him run with the gut.
Yeah. Let him out in space. Get that offensive line, that young, athletic offensive line out there. Let them lead the way. Let Clyde Edwards-Helaire follow behind. And let's end this
narrative.
I know
I've never, played the game as Nick Saban.
Right.
Wanted everybody to. But I'm pretty sure that he was really good in college at catching and running the ball.
Right.
Like, doesn't seem that we've seen any of that. And I think that's why, like, Peter Schrager drafting him first overall, like, that's one of the biggest reasons why. Because you saw the connection between Andy Reid and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you thought, oh boy, you're going to get the second coming of Brian Westbrook.
Sure.
Like, we're going to see that. And I think that
Jamal
was the biggest
Charles
reason
and Brian
why.
Westbrook all rolled into one.
We had that
with a little
idea
dash
in our
of
mind.
Emmett Smith.
Oh,
and
God,
yeah.
Sprinkle a little bit of that in there and some cinnamon on top.
Old Bay seasoning.
You got yourself a treat. But, like, I think that's why everybody got excited, because you saw the connection between the scheme and the player, and you haven't seen that come to fruition yet. And it's almost been like...
Sometimes the player isn't as good as the other player that used to be in the same scheme, though.
Regardless, Bob, it's been baffling because we haven't even had the opportunity to see whether or not that's true.
That is true.
Like,
you're
haven't
right,
been given the opportunity. It's just maddening. I want to say he's got, like, less than 50 receptions in all of the games he's played. It's just confusing as to why that hasn't been the way that you've approached it. And I understand that there's this idea of, you got to learn the scheme and you got to have this learning curve and things like that. Well, you say it, Bob, you never want to pay a running back. You got
right.
2 years left with this one.
Right. And then move on.
And then
no
after that, you either exercise a fifth-year option. But my point is, if you're going to try to just turn and burn on running backs that you've drafted high, then use them.
Yeah.
Utilize them early and utilize them often. Wear all the tread off them tires.
Right.
And then go on, kick them out.
But like, we really haven't seen that. You're right. And we'd like to see that. I thought going into this season, we would see a lot of screens from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that's what I want to see. I don't need to see power at five where the guard and tackle open up a hole and he falls forward for 3 yards. Like that, I don't need to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You got that fullback from New Orleans whose name I have no idea what it is in that
four
position. Phaser? Yeah, the four-phase guy.
Michael
yeah.
Bennett?
No.
Burton. Michael Burton.
Oh, Lance. The magician?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I don't need to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire on those type of plays. I need to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire like that play against Houston out in space. And until they utilize him in there, I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can be that guy.
Michael Bennett.
Mitch called him the brat last week. I thought that was hilarious.
I missed that one. That's good.
Burton is the brat.
He's the brat.
The sausage is gone.
The sausage is gone.
The brat was there. I was like, that was pretty good.
That is really good. I do like that.
Appreciates that or not. Yeah. The burst of CEH, though, is, something like to see. Like, break a long run.
Right.
Break something of substance. There haven't been a lot of flash plays out of him.
No,
let's do that. And I've been one that said, throw him the ball.
Right.
Run some screens. We just haven't quite seen that just yet. So, But I also don't think he's a fumbler. So I'm just not freaking out about being a fumbler after one fumble. Well. Speaking of Mitch, voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, he'll chat with us about the next QB trying to slay Patrick Mahomes. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He's the voice of Chiefs Kingdom and the premier play-by-play man in the NFL.
Off of Edelman and picked by the Honey Badger. Pick six. Tyrann Mathieu, pick six.
Andy joins Fesco in the Morning every Friday at 7:30, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up. He lines it up. The kick is long enough. It is good.
610 Sports Radio. Here's Mitch Holthus.
Mitch Holthus, brought to you each and every week by Ben Franklin Plumbing, the punctual plumber.
Now Mitch, are you okay this week? Because it sure seems like here in town,
like
we have
damage
not,
control on people.
Yeah, like, jeez. Boy, oh boy, we have not been handling this loss well as a kingdom, have we?
Hang on a second. The ink blot looks like a block kick. So I'm just coming out of therapy, daily therapy. And if I'm not going to therapy, I've had fans like, you need to go to therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Just relax, people. Take a deep breath. Let's keep marching here.
It's going to be okay. And the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first fumble of this guy's career. We're acting like he's a habitual fumbler right now in the NFL. Let's talk about Clyde first, man. Do you take anything away from that fumble, or is that just week two in the NFL and stuff happens?
O'Day made a heck of a play.
Yep.
I think it's 88.6% that O'Day kid made a heck of a play. If you watch it again on video, and I've heard all week, you took the ball out of Mahomes' hands. Let him sling that rock. Wait a minute. They've got three timeouts. It's second and three. What they're trying to do, Bob and Kling, is get 15 yards closer so it's not a 50-yard field goal, but maybe a 35-yard field goal.
Right.
And they're going to have a first down and three timeouts. So they're going to run the ball to get a brand-new set of downs. And the kid from Baltimore made a heck of a play. Now, the other 11.7% is Clyde learning to sew the football to the ventricles of his heart. And you'd think he would know after last year, but in that instance, Darrell Williams, who's his mentor, would say, dude, you need to hide the football somewhere in your lower intestine. Don't let O'Day get to it. Too much football exposed. I think that Clyde will bounce back and maybe even have a big game this week.
And I think also, too, Mitch, one of the other reasons why I was not against taking the ball out of Mahomes' hand, like so many people thought that was the end of the world. Did you guys watch what the defense was doing? You want to take that clock down to zero and not give Baltimore even 1 second back out on the field with the ball in that game.
That was the plan. And they had three timeouts, Bob. It was all set up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's 105 to go in second and three. You throw the ball there and have an incompletion. You do stop the clock, even if you're going to try a 50-yard field goal. And you have third and three, which makes it even more perilous. So in that instance, get the first down, get ready to spin the wheel three more times, and try to advance the ball. And again, with three timeouts. So the whole plan was to get 15 yards further, kick the field goal with no time on the clock, and Lamar goes home with a loss.
Exactly.
But the O'Day kid make a big play.
No doubt about it. Mitch Holtis, voice of the
AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Correct, Defensive
well.
Player yeah, of the yeah. Week. And I don't think many people have discussed it, but we have. Joe Tooney whiffed on that block as well.
Yeah, and that was rare because he doesn't whiff often. But, hey, got to march on here
yeah.
and get ready for these guys coming in, because this is a this is for the third straight week. It is a, and Kling I think will back this up, for the third straight week it's a regular season game that feels like a playoff game.
No doubt about it. Mitch, let me ask you about this one going into it. What's going to be like the biggest stat line that we're talking about in this football game as the Chiefs and Chargers get ready to match up at noon on Sunday?
You know, we always look at third down percentages on offense and defense, and we always look at red zone. We're really looking at red zone a lot. But to me, it is first down. The Chiefs are at the bottom of the league, allowing 64% of runs on first down to get 4-plus yards. 67% of the pass plays are getting 4-plus yards. Now, the Chiefs have got to win on first down more. And it would be nice to start in this game. If you look what the Chargers have done, they haven't scored a lot of points, but they already, I mean, they've got the league average for 10 play drives is 4, and they've got 10. Like, it's, they're just hanging on to the ball, and that's what they'll try to do on Sunday. You got to get these dudes off the field, but the Chiefs have to win more on first down defensively in this game and almost treat first down like third down to the last play of the game. Every first down in this game on Sunday.
Where do you see the defense can make the biggest jump? It sounds like that there's some discussion about assignments and what, almost some want to. You had kind of disappointed dad, Andy Reid, after the game and early this week about the defensive side of things. Where can they make the biggest jump?
Kling, I got a 6 on my ACT because some dude told me just fill in all of the above.
Uh-huh.
So I did.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work. And I didn't get into Loras College like you did. Oh, I mean, you went to Iowa.
Is Loras the Dewhawks? Is that their name?
The Dewhawks.
The Dewhawks.
Mitch, I'm coming for you with mascots, buddy.
I love it, buddy. I love it when you bring it.
Yep.
Now, if you know the University of Dubuque, you're really on it.
The Firefighters.
Two blocks away?
No.
Aren't they the Dubuque Fire?
The Spartans.
I was close. The Spartans are a cheap version of the Firefighters.
Yeah, whatever. But aren't they like two blocks away, Kling?
Pretty much, yeah.
Close,
yeah, yeah.
It's all in Dubuque. All right, anyway, that being said, I digress. I don't even know where we're at.
Everything's two blocks away in Dubuque, but that's a small town.
It's all of the above. Like, there has been breakdown in scheme, but honestly, and this is going to sound like we did last year with the coach at Pooch's, there are times you have to just whip the dude in front of you. I talked to Spags about it yesterday. We're going to feature it on our pregame show. And Spags, you just, even if you have a double team, Jaron Reed has to start whipping the guy in front of him every snap.
Yep.
Same with Turk Wharton. I know that Nottie's been reduced by injury a bit. You've got to win battles. And if Chris is on the edge, it's not about hamburgers and sacks. It's about whipping the dude in front of you. Then it leads to the sacks. And I know that sounds coachy, but this team's got to get a defensive mentality of not only being sound in the scheme, but they've got to start winning those individual battles side to side and front to back.
Everybody's talking about Justin Herbert being now the next rival to Patrick Mahomes and all of that, and had a nice season last year. Didn't win a lot of games, in my opinion, only 7-9 or whatever it was last year. What are two key comparisons between Patrick Mahomes and the guy kind of chasing him in the AFC West?
See if you've heard this one before. Now, Herbert's good. I think he's really good. And the biggest challenge he gives to any opponent is the same thing Patrick gives to any opponent. That is, if we had the NFL track meet this afternoon at Shawnee Mission North High School and the javelin was held, Mahomes and Herbert are going to be 1-2. Herbert has the ability. Talk about perfect scheme and whipping the guy in front of you. Herbert can do what Mahomes does, and that is just throw the ball right over the top of you, and all of that doesn't matter. Very few quarterbacks can do it. Herbert can. Mahomes does it in his sleep. All right. That being said, Herbert has lost 8 games by one possession
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's 7-10 as a starting quarterback. Mahomes has won in that same span 9 games by one possession. That's the best in the NFL. Herbert's 8 losses by one possession is the worst in the NFL. Now, him being 7-10, Herbert's got to get over the hump. And that means not throwing an end zone interception like he did against the Dallas Cowboys. That cost them the game. So Herbert, to this point, although very talented, has kind of been given the Philip Rivers Hall pass. Like, oh, it's somebody else's fault. It's been an injury, or it's not his fault. They got to get over that. If they're going to make the push that they need to move forward, then he's got to start pulling these games out of the fire. And instead, we know Mahomes has done it, does it over and over. Herbert has rarely done it. And so I know we're early in this story, but that's not a stat you hear a lot on NFL Network.
I hope he remains Philip Rivers, I guess, to that extent, because he is putting up numbers, but you have him make that key mistake.
That was a Rivers pick now.
Yeah.
He threw a Rivers pick against Dallas. I'm like, that's Philip Rivers. But he's talented, but we're kind of getting the cart ahead of the horse. And the reason he had this big year last year, right, volume-wise, they still went 7-9. And so, but he had the rookie record for most yards, for touchdowns, and for completion percentage. Guess why? Mahomes' rookie year was the apprentice year under Alex Smith.
Ah, that's right.
If Mahomes has his rookie year, which is really 2018, he obliterates all those with 5,000 yards to 4,300. 50 touchdowns to 31, and look at the completion percentage. So, again, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on Herbert. He's really good, and I think we found the new villain in the division. But let's all just hit the brakes here, because he needs to do Mahomes-like things more so, or even some, to get in the real apples-to-apples comparison.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Win some ball games. We'll talk about Justin Herbert, but what makes him dangerous?
Well, try 75 yards with down 4 with 2 minutes to go.
Right, and win a game that way. Like, you know Mahomes is going to do that. There's no doubt in your mind. There's questions with Justin Herbert. But even all that being said, Mitch, what makes him dangerous this weekend for the Chiefs?
The fact that he can just launch it over you. Spags can have the right play call. You're like, they're in perfect position. And this is why Mahomes drives everybody crazy. When I watch the video during the week, I'll see they'll have a sideline shot, a peripheral shot, where Mahomes has just launched it over everybody. Think of the Wasp play in Super Bowl 54. And you see their sideline, the enemy sideline, going, well, what are we supposed to do? You can have, with Herbert, you can have the best play call and execute it, and it still doesn't matter, because he'll just launch it right over your wall of defense.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Each week we get kind of a memory of a great moment that you saw between the two teams showing up in Arrowhead on Sunday. Got a lot of Charger games to choose from, Mitch. Which one really stands out to you?
Andy Studebaker's greatest moment. The Chargers, all they have to do, this is similar to Clyde, but even more so, all Phillip Rivers, the great 4,500-yard passer a year, has to do is go to a knee. And they fumble the center-to-quarterback exchange, and Studebaker comes out with the football, and the Chiefs snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. It was a victory formation, basically kneel down, and they fumbled the snap to the quarterback. It was like a 0.0003% chance of winning.
Yeah, and they won.
And they won.
I thought you were going to go with the Alex Smith comeback a couple of years ago.
We featured that on well, if you want to enjoy yes. that, you can go to Defending the Kingdom.
Good plug. I saw the tweet for that this morning, Mitch. That's Alex Smith's greatest moment, right? I mean, when we look back.
Oh, it's unreal.
I mean, it was an unbelievable game.
Yeah, that was like his .007 chance of winning. It was an incredible game, and the Chiefs had just struggled up to that point, and Alex basically just willed them down the field. Yeah, that's high honorable mention. But I guess I was in the mode of Charger quarterbacks turning the ball over at inopportune times.
Yeah.
I was in that genre.
What does Kling need to know this week as he heads down to the sidelines? What does he have for homework? Can you fax him all the stuff he needs?
I'm going to try to knock the ball to CEH's hands right away. I'm going to make sure that he doesn't fumble on the way in. I'm going to crisis manage the running back. That's cool.
Kling's got that little sewing kit that you put in your case, or you used to.
Mm-hmm.
And Kling's really good at that. He's very practical. So he is going to sew the football to the ventricles of Clyde's heart.
I like that.
So that'll be done on, he'll be done on pregame.
Are you guys going to get video of that so we can like watch that at a later date? Because I'd like to see Kling down there doing that.
On next week's Defending the Kingdom
podcast.
There
you go. Okay.
So Kling sewing the ball to Clyde's heart. I'll give you a little stat that, okay, so Art Haynes interviews me on postgame, right? Art Haynes, let's check the NFL score. He's Art Haynes.
That's pretty good. That's really good.
Art, I'm calling you from Springfield. This is Art Haynes. Okay, so Art's interviewing me, and he goes, Mitch, at the end of next Sunday at 5 o'clock, one of these teams will be 1-2. And I'm thinking, oh, that puts it in perspective. Mm-hmm. Teams that are 2-1, this is since 1990, so it's only 30 years of data. Teams that start 2-1 have a 53.8% chance of making the playoffs. If you start 1-2, it drops to 23.8%. I think even if the Chiefs start 1-2, they can overcome it. If the Chargers start 1-2, it will be a big challenge for them. Hear me out. The Chargers, it's not arrogant. The Chargers have built their defense in specific to beat the Chiefs. They have spent the last 12 months, but look at their defense and how it's structured. This is more homework for Kling.
Okay.
Look at the defense compared to just the last couple of years. There's no Denzel Perryman sitting there at linebacker. They've tried to go faster, quicker, smaller at linebacker. Kazir White, Kenneth Murray. They've got the pass rusher, of course, with Bosa. They've done a great job of drafting in the secondary. Derwin James is a stud, Asante Samuel Jr. But they built their team to play the Chiefs. Where does it make them vulnerable? The Dallas Cowboys. Pollard eats them up. Zeke eats them up. They hit him at the second level with girth players. The Chargers still have to play the Army and Air Force of the NFL, which are Cleveland and Baltimore. The Chargers are not suited defensively to play those teams, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Those teams are still ahead for the Chargers on their schedule. A 1-2 start for them could be really, really problematic. Wouldn't be fun for the Chiefs, but I think they can overcome it. But this game Sunday is a quasi playoff game. So bring it, Kling. Get a good night's sleep.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Mitch, get back to therapy and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks. There's a new ink blot. The ink blot looks like Bob Fesco playing frisbee golf. Okay.
Mitch Holta's voice of the Chiefs brought to you by Ben Franklin Plumbing, the punctual plumber.
It's a good way to end it. Just fade him out.
That's right. Mitch brought up a key stat we need to further hit on next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Chiefs are at the bottom of the league, allowing 64% of runs on first down to get 4-plus yards. 67% of the pass plays are getting 4-plus yards. Now, the Chiefs have got to win on first down more, and it would be nice to start in this game. If you look what the Chargers have done, they haven't scored a lot of points, but they already, I mean, they've got the league average for 10-play drives is 4. And they've got 10. Like, they're just hanging on to the ball, and that's what they'll try to do on Sunday. You got to get these dudes off the field, but the Chiefs have to win more on first down defensively in this game and almost treat first down like third down to the last play of the game. Every first down in this game on Sunday.
Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, just joined us. I thought it was very telling, the first down statistic.
It's funny, you picked up on that. And I wrote that down as well, what he was talking about.
Basically, they're giving up more than 4 yards on first down.
He ain't going to win.
Either running or passing.
Right.
Like, they're not good right now on first downs. So you're setting up second and shorts. You're getting offenses comfortable. You're allowing them to get rolling. Mm-hmm. Especially against a still relatively young quarterback, Justin Herbert. I'd rather him facing third down and long.
Right.
And if you can't get in third down and long, that's a problem.
It is.
And yeah. You can look at like the Ravens game. You know, you don't want third and two with Lamar Jackson in the football. You want him third and seven.
Yeah, we've talked about it with the Chiefs offense as well. I mean, getting you know, a great amount of yards on first down puts you in a spot where you're not a one-dimensional offense. I mean, you hold somebody on first down and you're looking at second and eight. Well, now you're talking about kind of making somebody a one-dimensional offense. They're going to have to be able to throw the football. You allow them to get four or more yards on first down, you're looking at second and five, second and four, Josh. You can do a lot of different things with the play action fake, go up over the top. And I feel like we talked a little bit about this last year with the Chiefs, or, you know, so I know we've talked about this in the past with first down being the most important down. We focus so much on third down in this league and third down percentage. Like, I'm looking at the stats that the Chiefs released in their game notes this week, and they've got their defensive stats and their offensive stats. And they both on offense and defense have third down percentage. And we look at third down percentage all the time. Right? How good are you on third down? But I think it really does need to be focused on first down and how good you are on first down as a defense and how good you are on first down as an offense. Because if you don't get anything on first down, chances are you got a three and out looking you right in the face.
Yeah, I think it's not one that's in. I don't want to compare it to baseball, where baseball, you know, we had average and home runs and RBI, and then we added on base percentage, yeah, and you're adding, right, whatever. But yeah, the common listed stats don't include how well you do on first down. I mean, yeah, those are like kind of in the next phase of your stat pack.
But it's, I think, like on page 47. I'm not going that
but
far.
Yeah,
in.
But it's like super important.
It is. Yeah,
and it sets a tone. You're getting chunked right away on first down. Then your back's against the wall to get a drive stopped. It makes it much more difficult. And I think it's a very telling number for the Chiefs. And then it's also not glaring run versus pass. They're both not very good.
No, yeah, it's true.
You know,
we've
thought about the run defense not being great, but passing on first down, teams are finding success here early on. And so, yeah, you got to win first down more. Get yourself a better opportunity to get off the field. you know, in three, and rather than a long drive.
And I've thought about that too, especially last week watching this game. Like, can you get a stop here on first down? Can we do something here? I'm tired of seeing second and four, second and three, second and fives. Let's get out there and win that line of scrimmage. And it was really like that in the Browns game a lot, it felt like, too, Josh. And maybe that's just perception or whatever. But I feel like in that Browns game, they couldn't get off the field on first down either, right? Like, they were allowing this offensive line to push forward. Like, as much as we want to sit here and complain about Daniel Sorensen, that is the least of our concerns right now. The biggest concern, and Mitch mentioned it as well, was those guys up front, the Turk Whartons of the world, the Jaron Reeds of the world, the Derek Nottis of the world. Like, those are the guys that need to pull their heads up and start playing better, right? I mean, that's where it all starts. When you're getting beat on first down and you're setting up second and short consistently, that's not a Daniel Sorensen, Juan Thornhill issue. That's the fatties up front not doing what they need to do. And Andy Reid said that after the game.
There's been a lot of focus on Dan Sorensen and missed tackles, okay? And I've seen the number as high as like 9.
Yeah.
He made 10.
Correct. So he was in on 20 tackles.
Where's everybody else?
Yeah, right. Where's Jaron Reed?
My point is, Dan Sorensen's around the ball 20 times. Hey, I'll at least take it that you're around the ball. Where is everybody else in those situations? Hitchens had double-figure tackles, too. But
so did Bolton, I think.
Not quite. I think he was like a niner, right?
I thought he was the leader this past week.
No, he's the leader on the season.
Okay.
Total. He had 9.
Yeah.
He had 9 tackles this week. But
God forbid he only had 9, right?
I know.
But that's a good number.
You know, even if you're missing tackles, and I'm not saying you should miss tackles, but Dan Sorensen shouldn't be around the ball 20 times.
That's right.
That's kind of where I'm at with this whole thing.
That's the issue.
That's creating matchups you don't want to necessarily have happen. That's showing that not enough stuff's getting done up front, and then it filters to the back. And again, I caution about responsibilities in really an offense and a defense, but more so I think glaring in a defense. You can't pinpoint, unless you're on the inside, what the impact is of this guy up front not doing his part that filters to the middle of the defense, that filters to the back end of the defense. And Dan Sorensen seems to be the lightning rod here this week. But that, I look at the defensive line and go, if that job's done up front, you're not worried about the safety picking up a bunch
of
tackles.
You're not at all. Hey, let's do ourselves a favor this week, Josh. Okay, let's you and I each just kind of watch that defensive line, right, and see what they do this week, because I think that's going to be the story of the game. If the guys that you look at for the Los Angeles Chargers of Englewood are out there dominating on the offensive side of the football, it's going to be because of those guys up front. And if you look across the field and you're seeing the Chiefs defensive line and it's second and four, it's like, you're not doing your job. If they're sucking wind, they're not doing their job out there. And we've got to stop like worrying about Daniel Sorensen versus Juan Thornhill, because that is a symptom of the major problem right now. And the major problem is this defensive line is not good.
I'm more worried about Chris Jones having an assisted tackle last week.
That's it. That's all he had. A half tackle. Right.
.5. That is way more glaring to me.
That is a lot more glaring than Daniel Sorensen. Again, if your safety is missing 9 tackles and making 10, my first question is, why the hell is he in on 20 tackles? That's not good. You never want your safeties to be near the leaderboard when it comes to tackles. You want your linebackers and your defensive linemen to have to do that, because by the time the safety's making the tackle, you've lost the play. Yeah. You have. It's over. So, I mean, enough with the Daniel Sorensen versus Juan Thornhill nonsense, and focus on the 4, 5, 6 guys up front that right now aren't earning their keep.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. Yesterday, Coordinator Day out at Arrowhead, and the first time we were able to hear from Greg Lewis,
Chiefs
running backs coach, since that issue on the sidelines in game 1 against the Browns.
That's right. He stood up for his player.
Player got ejected.
G-Lew.
He jumped in, and there were various reports whether or not he got fined or not.
Right? Yeah, right.
It seemed like it was going to be, he's not going to get a fine. Well, he did get a fine. But an instance in getting involved with a player on the sidelines, and Greg Lewis was asked about it.
What happened in this situation is that I lost my cool, and emotionally I got involved in the game the way that I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be involved. My purpose was to get my guy and get him out of the situation. And as a parent, I need to be a better example and defuse a situation. And that's how I looked at it, that I was going over there to get him out, and it didn't end up that way. And it's something that I shouldn't have been a part of, but it happened. And I've moved on from it. I've spoken with Coach Reed. I've spoken with the NFL. And from that standpoint, it's not going to happen again from me.
Good job, Greg Lewis.
From me.
Mentioned as
maybe somebody else, but not for me.
He mentioned as a parent, because that's the situation where your parent jumped in there.
Yeah.
I
like the court stenographer working overtime in the background.
I do too. Yeah.
It was really good. That was G Lou.
Yeah, it was G Lou.
Who was that court stenographer back there?
Know,
I mean, my goodness.
Really going ham.
Who is still using a typewriter or whatever that is? I mean, that person was pounding the keyboards.
Ding when it got to the end.
Ding. And push it back and keep typing again.
Those work better. I mean, come on.
Good Lord.
Nice job, Greg Lewis.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to say.
But if I'm Greg Lewis still, though, I'm like, hey, you're in the moment, man. Guy was stepping all over your player.
He goes, it happened. I just shouldn't have.
I know, I understand what G. Lou's saying. You're over here trying to defend the guy, and he's going, no, I was in the wrong. He was in the wrong.
No, he was in the wrong.
And as a coach and as a leader on the team, you're supposed to be able to go up to your players and say, hey, you need to keep your cool because you could do something that could affect us in the game, and we don't want that to happen. How the hell can you possibly say that?
Man, you can't. That ship has sailed now.
If you're out here losing, you're cool. So
I'm not saying he was not in the wrong. He was in the wrong, but I also understand why he was in the wrong. I mean, you're in the heat of the moment. You see a guy kicking your player.
Which is basically what he's.
Yeah.
That's his apology saying that, too. I was in the wrong, but.
But I mean, hey, man.
But I still know I shouldn't have done it, but hey, I'll pay the fine.
I know how intense.
We can't have anyone freak out there.
That's right. That's right.
We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
That's right. I know how intensely 11-year-old softball gets on the field, okay? I can only imagine what the NFL sidelines.
I wondered how you were
going
to get 11-year-old softball practice working on the show today.
I know how intense that is out there in between the lines. People don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on out there in the intensity level, right? So I look at G-Lo, I'm like, yeah,
common
I guess folks. You got to be better, but I look at myself, if I'm in that situation and I'm a coach and somebody's going after one of my players like that, yeah, I'm going to do what I can to get my player out of the middle of that.
I certainly understand how it happens that way, and I even told you guys this after the incident. He's a former NFL player. I'm sure
he's a player. Yeah.
I'm sure when he hits the sidelines, the juices get flowing and the memories start flowing back, right?
They do, yeah.
He's ready to go to war for his guys. Appreciate the hell out of that. You're a coach now, dude.
It's like my guy Zim from Coffeyville, who used to go to the Dalton House, and if things broke out down there, he would hey, let's roll.
Brandon Jacobs used to play for Coffeyville.
I do. Breaking news, Sounder, please. We've got some breaking news here on 610 Sports Radio. We told you about it a little earlier in the show.
Powered by Odyssey Sports and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports better. Get smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We said this was a possibility. Now it is official. There will be that Monday night wild card game starting this year. The NFL just sent out a press release beginning with this season. Super wild card weekend will conclude with a game on Monday night.
It's now super.
With the addition of the Monday night game, the super wild card weekend will now have two wild card games on Saturday. 3:35 and 7:15. Three on Sunday.
Three.
Noon 05. 3:40, 7:15. And then one on Monday night, 7:15.
Noon 05.
That's right. So there you go. We've got wild card weekend spilling
over
to Monday. Great for the fans. Horrible for who's ever involved in that.
Teams are hating the Monday night game. Coaches are hating the Monday night
game. But again, we always talk about in sports, how do you make the regular season more interesting? You just made it even more interesting now than you ever could have in the NFL. Last year, they made it more interesting by adding the bye week for the first place team only. Now, the bye week becomes even more important because you're probably going to be facing the winner of that wild card game that had a play on Monday night. And that's a disadvantage for the team that wins that game, the flight back, all that nonsense that goes involved with it, day game after a night game. The team that has the bye, if they have to play that wild card team, or the team that even played Sunday or Saturday that has to play that wild card team, is going to have a huge, huge, huge advantage. Imagine the team that played on Saturday, and then they get the winner of that wild card game that played on Monday. You got two extra days if you're that team to heal up and rest where that team had to play on Monday night. It's a huge competitive advantage, and I'm sure behind closed doors right now, coaches are not happy
with this. No, they're not happy at all.
Neither are the players, but you know what? It's not about them. It's about the fans, right?
That's why they sent out the they release it.
Yeah.
Week three.
Week three. Like, let everybody know this is what's going to happen, right? Yeah. And we also got our TV partners to take care of.
There
and
you go.
If you ever think that the NFL or professional sports isn't a business, just look to Wild Card being moved to a Monday night. Business decision.
Business. Business. I like it, though. I like it.
For a fan standpoint, it's great.
Love yeah. it. Love it.
Yeah.
More football spread out.
Right.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
But
love
if,
it.
But if it's your team.
No.
You hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You your team has to play that Monday night game and then turn around and play.
Because your coach hates it.
Yeah, your coach hates it.
Your coach hates it.
And I think they're going to try to make that Monday night game winner play on a Sunday from what some of the scuttlebutt was. I don't think they're going to have to turn around and play on a Saturday.
I don't think they can do that.
But if you have a Saturday team that won and that team plays on Sunday, I mean, look, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it, at the end of the day when it's all said and done, when we put the baby out with the bathwater.
When the bad luck turns into good luck.
When the bad luck turns into good work and we're done chopping wood, the team that plays on that Monday night is going to be at a disadvantage.
You say when the dust settles?
Oh, when the dust settles. There you go.
So confused at this point in time. Speaking of confused, the Chiefs defense looked very confused last week against the Ravens, looking to bounce back this week against the Chargers. Steve Spagnuolo knows their performance has been unacceptable.
I know most of your questions are going to be red zone. You're going to go there, I'm sure. I understand it. I get it. I hope you can understand that I'm not going to go deep into the solutions, how we're going to change it, how we're going to fix it, because I'm talking to the Chargers, right? I'm not going to do that. Okay. I will say that there's been an extreme focus on it. The players have taken ownership. The coaches have taken ownership. We did have some wrinkles in last week in the red zone, one that I thought worked pretty good and one not so good. So we were kind of 50-50 on any changes.
Who types this
hard? It needs
hard?
To get better. You know, it begins with a lot of things. I mean, the basic football in the red zone, which is just kind of burr up and man up, like we say. So that was the two teams that we've played have been pretty challenging in that regard, red zone and the run defense. Hopefully it'll make us better going forward. But what we're putting out there right now obviously is not good enough. I think we all know that.
All right. Get better.
I'm not going to tell you what we're
doing. I can tell you.
Why should he? I don't blame him. Why are you telling the Chargers?
Trust me, we're doing something.
Not at all.
Hey, guys, look.
And there's a lot of.
We're working on it, but we're not going to tell you what it is. We don't give anything. I don't blame him for that.
A lot of man up going on, too.
There really is. I mean, that a lot of it. I mean, we've heard Andy and now Spag say, go out there, put your jock strap on your helmet, go kick somebody's ass.
You know, we're working, too.
Win those individual battles.
So glad we got that back.
Yeah. We got it all set for you. You got to go do it, man. I don't know.
Like, look, the scheme works.
Don't
it's
get
won
beat.
Super Bowls. How about you go out there and get
Maybe
more than half a tackle?
The problem is you.
Yeah. Hey, Frank, show up on Sunday, all right? Chris, do more than just a half a tackle. Guys in the middle, get pressure. Push the offensive line back. Get off your blocks. And that's a direct one right at the defensive line. When you say get off your blocks, those are the guys at the point of attack right there. Andy's talking to them. I hope these guys are ashamed that their coaches called them out, because Andy doesn't call people out.
It's not about hamburgers and sacks.
It's true. Anthony Hitchens says this defense has flipped the script before.
In order to keep our offense off the field and Pat, you want to run the ball. You want to kill the time and milk it and make it a long quarter. You know what I mean? And our quarters. And that's what teams are deciding to do. And, I mean, the only thing we can do right now is try to get better at it. Obviously, we haven't been playing our best in the run defense, but we haven't in the past years, and we flipped it around. So it's just going to be another challenge for us. We get out there early, do walkthroughs before practice, and just try to get it right. We got a bunch of right guys. We're working at it. All you can do is work at it. We won't know if it worked or not until Sunday, so we just keep working at it and keep improving.
See, they're getting out there early, Bob.
They are. They're getting
what
things done.
What do people want? They're working on it, and they're getting out there early. They're in their playbook.
Josh, he said right at the beginning of that, in order to keep our offense off the field, so you know they're going to run the football, then go out there and ball and run blitz and just play the run. Guess.
Oh, blitz. Justin Herbert, I wouldn't just play the run. Throw it over the top of you.
He may, but
it feels a little foolish.
You got to stop the run. You got to stop the run, man.
Got to stop the run, man.
You got to stop the run, man. 15-0.
Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, joins us for his weekly visit. He's got some questions for CEH. Next.
The Kansas City Chiefs are not real good right now.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.